So our topic for today really is an article that I read over the weekend in my spare time between doing, you know, 6 or 7 tax returns. It was out of Success From Home magazine. You guys know that's a direct-selling powerhouse magazine. And this was the April edition. And one of the first articles in the book was something called Paycheck to Paycheck Nation. And I thought it was really good because here's what I think this information is great for all of you to have, is because a lot of times when you're out there and you're trying to convince somebody how to get started or to get started in Manatech, sometimes you just need something something fresh, some new statistics or data that you'd like to share with them that just might help them trigger and get over the hump. And, you know, when you talk about our society as a paycheck-to-paycheck nation, it's really, I don't know about you guys, I'm sure there plenty of you on the call today that have a job perhaps out there as well as are doing Manatech on the side. But the idea of paycheck to paycheck, I'm plugging it back in my memory of those days for myself. And I remember that it was very stifling to me. Even as much money as I made in my paychecks over the years, it still seemed like there was no upside. Does that make sense to everybody? It was always the concept that this is all I'm getting, and I, you know, on an annual basis or semi-annual, depending on where you were, you might get bonuses. As a lawyer, I got a lot of bonuses in different places. But that basic core paycheck that came out until, of course, I became entrepreneurial in my legal work, which means I set up my own law office. But the idea of working in a law firm when I'm on a paycheck to paycheck, no matter how much money there was, it was just a stifling concept. It was always something screaming that this is all I can do. This is as good as I can get. And it didn't matter how much it was. It was always just like somebody else was controlling my value. So that concept in itself can have a psychological impact on people that's very negative. And so I like the language paycheck to paycheck because people, I believe, out there feel maybe not the same depth of feeling that I had or same response. Everybody's a little different. Some people, like my husband, he looks at it like it's great because he's always guaranteed the paycheck. But those are the people that are just, you know, living for a sense of some kind of underlying security, and their number one core value is to be secure versus, you know, upside. They don't dream. They don't have big ideas of a great future. They don't want to change the world. My husband's not into any of that. He's into, you know, da-da-da-da-da, by step, living a structure. And how funny, you know, that's how God's joke he plays on all of us, is he puts us with people that are totally opposite to us, right? That's what I have. So, but the idea is we have a paycheck to paycheck nation, and unless you, if you want to get ahead in life, paycheck to paycheck is not going to get you there. So it's about how do we get ahead? How do we live the life of our dreams? And most people living paycheck to paycheck will never have that opportunity to do it. So there is a better way. And so, again, using just the title of the article to me was very impactful. So let's kind of look at some of the guts of the article and what they talked about in here, the landscape. They say there are an estimated almost 40 million people living paycheck to paycheck in our country today. And that statistic I thought was fairly low, since there are 300 million plus in our country. I thought, you know, it's about 15% of our country, you know, 10-15% of our country. So to me, that would seem rather low. Of course, the people that live in our country today include all the babies and the students and people that don't even have jobs. So out of the job market, that might be more like, and then we have a lot of people that are unemployed and not working in the job market at all. So maybe it's more of 50% of the people that actually are in the job, you know, that are in working Americans are choosing, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. Again, pay their bills and pray, right? The U.S. consumer debt, they talked about the U.S. consumer debt in this article, topped $12.7 trillion. That's what we call being a debtor nation. And when you look at consumer debt, what are we looking at? Consumer debt is about looking at basically different kinds of debt that make up what consumer debt is. And consumer debt is involved in, and it continues to grow. Every single month we see it continue to grow, and it's hitting record numbers every month because as it grows up, it's setting new records. And so when we look at these, we look at different aspects of it. Let's talk about consumer debt from basically three reasons why it's so high in the United States. Number one is credit card debt. And credit card debt rose due to the Bankruptcy Protection Act of 2005. That act made it harder for people to file for bankruptcy, so they turned to credit cards in order to pay their bills. So we remember the tough times in July 2007, 2008, where credit card debt reached its all-time peak of $1.028 trillion. That was an average of over $8,000 per household. And that debt was huge. And the number one, as a result of that, a lot of that debt, when they look back at what constituted that debt, a lot of it came out of health care issues. And health care costs, as a result, became the number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States, health care costs. So we can all see why people are incredibly nervous today, just about, you know, they're one medical emergency away from bankruptcy. And then the recession we had in 07, 08, of course, that we suffered through 09, we watched credit card debt fall dramatically, and banks cut back on consumer lending, and there are more regulations in the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform Act, which, by the way, is now being repealed. So we probably are going to go back in the same trap again. By 2011, even after the recession, the credit card debt had fallen to considerably to a low of about $800 billion instead of in the trillion, you know, concept. So, but you know, the average household still was owing $7,000. So credit card debt remains high, huge numbers out there in terms of what American households owe. And, of course, credit card companies love that because they make so much bloody money off of you every month with their interest, their rates they charge on that. So that's part of our debt. So this, number two is auto loans. And auto loans have increased a tremendous amount because of low interest rates. So people took advantage of the Federal Reserve's expansive monetary policy. So you can see how, you know, some people go, well, how do people manipulate our buying habits? Well, the federal government manipulates your buying habits every day of your life, whether you see it consciously or subconsciously, by how they regulate, whether it's the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform Act or it's the Federal Reserve's expansive monetary policy or whatever. You are being manipulated by the federal government, okay? So they lowered their rates in 2008 in order to fight off the recession and try to get our country back on track, which is great. That's a great economic policy to have at a time when you're looking at a country going under. You want to make sure you stimulate the economy and stimulate buying. So they lowered the rates for a while, and, of course, that caused people to buy more. And today, I don't have the specific statistic, but the average, I can tell you the length of time. In 2017, the statistic was the average car loan was 69.3 months. That's almost 6 years. How many people even keep a car for 6 years? Not very many people. They usually, after 3 to 5 years, they're out there buying a new car. So what's happening is they're layering car debt on top of car debt, and they're so over, you know, indebted to each time they buy a new car, their debt payments get stretched out a few more years. And the car companies are more than happy to open the floodgates for you to do that because the car salesmen get paid on moving cars. The car companies stay in business by selling new cars. So they will extend that debt 18 different ways. They will fine-tune it. They'll stretch it. They'll make it look like it's, you know, people go in, they buy a car, and they don't realize they're totally upside down on the car. They owe more on the car than the car's worth. It's kind of a crazy thing. And their car payments, they'll convince you by just going, oh, your car payment's only going to go up about $70 a month. Well, when you stretch $70 a month over 5 years, that's thousands and thousands of dollars, right? So, but you don't get that because you just look at the, oh, that's only $70 more a month. And that's how they convince people. So the auto loan industry has gotten totally out of control. I don't know what the statistic is, but I saw one that was like in the 40% range of all car loans today are upside down, which means there's more debt on the car than the car's worth. So we have a crisis on that as well. And then the third area where we look at consumer debt is the school loans. And we only know so well what those school loans are looking like today. They're, you know, like off the charts. And there's some great There's some great sites up there about student loan debts. I like to, there's student loan forgiveness programs. I'm working on one myself. We're helping with students out there. The general picture of the student loan debt landscape today is there's a $1.5 trillion in total U.S. student loan debt. 44.2 million Americans hold student loan debt. 44.2 million. That's a lot of people that have student loan debt. So you can see it's not just students that are graduating from college. It's students that went to college 10, 15 years ago are still carrying massive student loan debt. The delinquency rate today on student loan debt is over 10%. It's 11.2%. 90-plus days delinquent or in default. And the average student loan payment is ranging around $350 to $360 a month. So tremendous. And a lot of those monthly payments are just to sustain. They're not paying. Some of them are just paying interest, barely making any dents on the loan principal. But that's where we are. So those three loan debts, when you look at those kind of things, student loan debt, in and of itself now outweighs credit card debt and other non-mortgage debt. So we have some crises out there, right? This is, this gets back to our paycheck to paycheck nation. We have a lot of debt on our hands, a lot of people in debt, and we have a great solution. That's why I came up with my student loan program, because I really saw the pod as a way to, for people to pay off their student loan debt. The simplicity of finding five people who consume Manatech products and then two friends who go and find their five people, and bingo, guess what? You're making $500 a month. And it just seemed with average student loan debt was $350, $360, I could pay off my student loan debt. Use the extra to pay off in advance and just use all your money to allocate it to that. So they're very creative ways of helping people with Manatech to help with their debt crisis. And we talked about car debt already. The other thing, 1 in 4 Americans has no money set aside for emergencies. It's 25% of our population. If an emergency happened, in other words, they're 1 foot out of bankruptcy, they're 1 foot out of defaulting because they don't have anything to do that. And the next statistic really hammers at home that just over 40% of adults have less than $500. 40% of adults have less than $500 in an emergency fund. That's crisis. Okay, so I didn't mean to kick you off with this great stats of depression here. These are just statistics that are invaluable for you when you're out there talking about our paycheck to paycheck society, because this really defines it. How did people get into these predicaments? Well, you can say bad, the bad concept about I want to feel better about myself, so I'm going to buy a new car. Or I'm going to overextend myself on my credit card this weekend and buy some new clothes. A lot of our buys are emotionally triggered, and it's trying to make ourselves feel emotionally better in the moment. But what happens is it sets in depression thereafter because all of a sudden the paycheck doesn't cover the monthly payments because we just increased an additional $72 on that new car we bought, right? So all of these things are troublesome to our economy, troublesome to everyone, and it's, again, paycheck to paycheck, you're stuck. You don't have an upside, right? You can go find a better job, maybe. You can try to beg for a raise every year. But you know what happens typically? The cost of living goes up faster than the raises go up, so that doesn't really cover you at all. And so let's talk about the cost of living. The average cost of living has risen faster than wages since 2003. Rising cost of living, home prices, if you're familiar with that, you know that home prices are skyrocketing, everybody. Retirees who take out reverse mortgages to survive. Reverse mortgaging has become one of the most popular concepts in our marketplace. When I first learned about this about 10 years ago, I think it came out around the time of our recession. It became a popular thing because you had people that you didn't want, if you have elderly parents and they don't want to move out of their house, they have an opportunity to stay in their house and pay for their expenses by mortgaging the house. But the problem is that was a concept. Today it's become a triggering point for people to pay their increased amount of debt, indebtedness. When I just went over under the first paragraph of this outline, all the indebtedness we have. How are we meeting that indebtedness? Well, we're not worried about it because we're just going to mortgage our house, and when we die, boom, somebody else gets a house, right? Like the bank. And these are, have become so popular. And one of the things that they're robbing of, too, is a lot of people, when their parents pass away, the number one asset they inherited was their home. And now that's gone out of any asset inheritance. So there's less money passing to the younger generations from parents that have retired for an extended period of time because of reverse mortgages as well. So we see it shifting a lot of the economics in our society. And I don't know about you, but a lot of the stuff that I've stashed away, not only do I use a lot of, you know, my wealth that I've put off to the side and grown over the years to do charitable work, but I also have a kind of a master plan for my kids, that what I want them to get if I ever do leave this planet, or when I ever do. And some people say, marry my kids, sometimes they look at me and they go, Mary Jo, you're going to live longer than I am. And I go, I don't know. I could stop taking my Manatech products. No, that'll never happen. But the fun part of it is that you have something there that you really, you want to give them, not a bonus on your death, but it's nice to have something that your kids can inherit. And that's a wonderful planning tool to have. But if you do reverse mortgages and take advantage of things like this, you're really stripping away inheritances for your offspring. So those are another, again, to cover increased costs of living. We have unforeseen expenses today, medical, house, car, that can create a crippling ripple effect on you and actually a crippling effect as well, because they come out of nowhere. And we see that happen. Medical bankruptcies are everywhere. People who have had the force to file for bankruptcy because of high medical costs, that's not going down anytime soon. And then we looked at just the cost of living in a house. We looked at, with no house, the cost of living alone has risen dramatically. Obviously, it's far different outside of city life. But if you look at city life, one of the top areas in the country was New York City, cost $48,000. This is cost of living, no house, just like renting. New York City, cost of living is about $48,500 for a family of four. Now, there are a lot of families of four in this country that don't even make $48,000 a year, gross. And yet, that's just purely the cost of living. That's the, you know, your housing and your food costs, right? And it doesn't take into account anything outside the realm of those just essentials for just breathing and staying alive. It doesn't talk about medical insurance, all the other kind of things that are added to it. So you can see that we have a dramatic change in terms of what's happening in our country for people to live. For people living on a tightrope, of course, what do we want to talk about? This is where Manatech comes in such a significant way. And that's why, again, knowing these statistics, using this information when you go out and share with people, and you don't talk about it like I did this morning. You don't spend 20 minutes discussing, you know, all the debt problems, everything else. But you do raise it, the fact up of paycheck to paycheck nation, and what it doesn't offer for people, and the concept of alternative income streams and residual income streams that can support what's happening in our world today, to be able to set aside that extra income. Because, you know, I helped my husband. I'll just share a cute story with you. As my husband was a non-saver, and when I came in his life, you know, I looked at that. He didn't have a dime in any savings account anywhere. And when you get married at 18, that's one thing. But when he was 43 when we got married, and he had nothing. He had no savings whatsoever. And I was like, well, we're going to stop that whole process. So I went into his company, and I just said, you know, I looked at what they offered, you know, matching. You know, when you have corporate matching, if you have a JOB and a company offers you up to, you know, 8% matching, you know, in the first 8% that you are 4%, whatever it might be that you contribute, they'll match it. I mean, that's free money, people. That's absolutely free money. So you learn to take advantage of free money. So I said, you will never go a day without getting this matching, minimal. And then for a while, I put in a little bit of extra money. And today, his account is over $500,000. And he just thinks that's the craziest thing in the world. He just looks at me like I was some kind of economic financial genius. And I was like, no, it's just called discipline, right? Discipline and structure for us to make sure that we have that cash flow. But, you know, and where does that cash flow come? I was using money that he had was getting in his Manatech position, which is far in excess of that today. But at the time, that was easy for me to develop an account for him that was making X number of dollars on a monthly basis, right? And I used that to help build his retirement account. So thank you, Manatech, for now that great, you know, piece of retirement income that he has that's set aside unattached to all the things I've done in my past, but just that one extra account set up based on income. So you as a family, you can look at that and say, okay, well, if I'm going to grow my Manatech business, why am I not putting a spouse in a great position in my Manatech business so they can accrue income as well, and maybe dedicate that second income source exclusively to savings? That's a great way of doing it. I don't know how many of you have thought about that or how many of you use that as a mechanism when you're approaching people about how to grow their Manatech business. A lot of times people want to get, you know, earn cash and they want to use it for immediate needs. Like we just talked about all the upside down, you know, credit card debt and all sorts of the car loans and everything that people have. But the reality is if you use, you know, dedicate a piece of that to go towards what? Building a retirement fund for you. Now, this is a great approach when people are in their 40s, a little harder when you're in your 60s, because by that time you should already have some of this set aside. But the idea of starting it young and just making it part of a dedication, and then people, well, we really want the two incomes. Well, then set up a third account. I believe Manatech still allows three accounts for a family. Lydia's giving me the nod over there. So you could set up I only have two accounts. I have a third one, but it's not an income earner. But you could set up a third account under the name of a corporate structure for me, it would never be a corporate. It'd be a subchapter S or some corporate structure where there's a pass-through, so there's not double taxation. But the idea is you want to set up a structure that's going to serve you in your highest and best interest and use that money. So you could have a third structure. So if you need to live off of two of them, then set up another one. So they could be the two tops. So the great thing is you are the top position and at the top of your two legs are two of your two people that you are, you know, an entity. I like my top position is a corporate structure, and then I have myself and my husband. So that's how you can set up your top positions. And then as you grow your business, you're really earning income in three positions at the same time. Every bit of your activity. Here's how it goes. Every bit of your activity earns double the income, because if you're building in one leg or the other leg, whichever leg you're building in, you're getting two income streams from everything that's added there instead of just one. So it's a great, that's another, you want a paycheck to paycheck nation. You can't double your paychecks. You can't earn two paychecks at your job. So think about that as an argument to make as well of, you know, why Manatech is a great answer. It's just purely based on how you structure it. And I don't even know that that's part of my outline in front of you, but I will definitely give you that advice up front because it's a critical part of building multi-tiers of income for yourself and doing Manatech. And if you look at the $500 a month that we make just from the AQ pod, that's huge to me for the average person with student loan debt. That's what I approach every one of the students I talk to on a weekly basis. I talk about making an extra $500 a month in a very simple way where they never even have to buy product. That's one of the aspects of our new compensation plan, that you don't personally have to ever buy product and you can make $100,000 a month in Manatech without purchasing a product. That's a little crazy, but it's the way our comp plan is structured today. But the idea here is that you can get them to get their AQ pod, and without putting out any money on products, they can cash flow that $500 and help pay off their student loan debt. And it's a great. And the other thing to look at is not only does it cover the student loan debt, but I remember the statistic, and I didn't do an updated check-in on this bankruptcy statistic, but I remember in the early 2000s, I used to give talks all the time at Manatech and talked about the fact that the federal government said 80% of all the people that filed for bankruptcy the prior year would never have had to file for bankruptcy if they just would have been making an additional $300 a month. So that shows you that, and I'm sure the statistic probably isn't much further off today. Maybe it's 70% or whatever, but it just shows you that hairline difference of monthly income that triggers bankruptcy for people. Just that's how slim it is. And so, again, when you're talking to people about the benefits of a home-based business, just adding a few hundred dollars to their monthly lifestyle can really make a difference in people's lives. And people, again, are They lie awake at night looking for answers, and you have answers, and yet you have a fear. You don't like to be rejected. You don't think they're going to be interested. My goodness gracious, give people the opportunity to get financial security in their life, and this is an awesome opportunity to do that. So you want to make sure if you're not selling Manatech based on that, listen to where people are today when you meet them. I always tell people, why are you telling people what Manatech will do for them? Find out what their need is first, and then show how Manatech is a perfect solution for them. It's not the best. You know, all I can say is, as Eric Worre says, it's not perfect, but it's sure as heck better than anything else out there, right? You know, there's no perfect model, but it sure makes a huge difference and better than other things out there. And some people today, they don't even go to doctors. You know, there's write-ups on that, how people are pushing off. You know, they feel pains or aches or things, and they push it off because money. The number one reason they don't go to a doctor, because of healthcare costs, because of cash flow. Imagine putting yourself in a position where you don't even choose to go see a doctor, a medical professional, or integrative health professional, because guess what? You're so afraid of what it's going to cost, and you don't know where the money's going to come to pay the bill. So instead, you just, you know, do crazy things. I mean, you know, people do this. They compromise their health because of dollars. That's scary, and that should never happen with anyone. I mean, you could have something, you know, a gallbladder attack, and you're feeling bad, and you just don't, you could die. But because of money? But a lot of people feel that way today, and it's only going to get worse if we see, you know, there's a big political movement to, you know, that people once again are saying we don't need health care costs. You buy your own health care. You don't, Affordable Care Act, throw that out. You know, people don't need to, we don't need to be supporting people with health care expenses. I mean, it's a scary proposition that the most sophisticated country in the world is going in that direction. But it is. It's a direction we're going. And so, again, another emphasis for us to make sure that we're out there helping people every day with understanding nutrition in a huge way. People desire to have financial peace. And of course, that's kind of started a whole new industry out there. If you guys haven't noticed, and all of you have, because I know I've discussed this for a couple of years now, when you look at Uber and Airbnb, dog sitting, dog walking, online retail, it's called the side hustle society. Everybody in the world is coming up. You can see the demand out there for additional cash flow is evident. All you have to do is study this side hustle business as an industry in and of itself. And there's many different ways that you can earn income. And so the incredible thing is that if people weren't looking for side income, why do you think this side hustle industry has exploded? It's exploded because people are desperately trying to find other resources, other sources of income. But the problem with all of these things, if you look at all the side hustle business, and you can look at the statistics, just research side hustle business, and you can look at how this, and they have a hard time tracking it because every day there's new ideas coming up for people how they can make side income. But the intriguing thing about side hustle business is this. I laugh because some people go, Mary Jo, you do all this stuff. You do tax returns for people. You do wedding stuff. You do this. And I go, I know, but that's all my charity. I mean, I don't charge anyone for all that. My side hustle business is not very lucrative for me because I do it just out of goodness of my heart, right? I love to help people that way and just support them and make a contribution because I love people, and that's just where my heart is. But, you know, could I charge money for it? Of course, but that's not my shtick. But the idea that people are finding the ways of doing this. But the one downside to every aspect of this is what? There's no leverage in it. Zero. Again, it becomes you're exchanging time for dollars. And we all know that whole concept of exchanging time for dollars. If you aren't familiar with the Kiyosaki cash flow quadrants, you want to familiarize yourself with that because that's another thing you can use when you talk to people. You can when people talk about Airbnb or they talk about Uber, you know, I love to tell them, oh, you know what, you know, I have a woman that works for me, and she jumped on board on that because, you know, she just saw it as a way to make additional cash, and she started driving her car. And I said, oh, my gosh, she just fell trap to being in that cash flow quadrant, you know, the wrong side of the cash flow quadrant. So are you familiar with that? When you tell people they fell into the trap of being on the wrong side of the cash flow quadrants, write that language down. They fell into the wrong side of the cash flow quadrants. People get scared. It sounds like they fell off a cliff. If they don't know what it is, they're going to want to know. And that's what you want to do, is intrigue them and then educate them on Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrants. And hopefully all you guys understand those. If you don't, it's a great thing to understand. I know I've taught it on this call. I've taught people how to use the brochures that we have out there on the, doing Manatech as a business. When you flip it over on the back side, drawing out the diagram. I mean, there are just a lot of great ways to introduce that into any conversation. But you can introduce it as like a fear of a disease. You know, not understanding cash flow quadrants is the newest, you know, medical condition that caused people high stress and heart attacks. So you want to make sure that you're introducing them to cash flow quadrants. But that's a problem with the side hustle gigs. The gig economy, they call it. A lot of people, that's another connotation. You want to research that. Google gig economy, and you'll find a lot of information on that. But again, it's time for dollars, so what happens? It's not leverage. It's not building a business where the check comes in no matter what you do. Right? And even if you do nothing, and for the last 4 months, really, I've been working so hard on, you know, some surprises at Manifest that I haven't done a lot in growing my Manatech business per se, but you know what? That check keeps coming. It keeps coming. And there's something beautiful about making that kind of income without, you know, putting a lot of energy and effort specifically tied to growing my Manatech business. So that's the residual aspect of it. No time for dollars, right? That's what you want to make sure. And then tax rates for those in the job versus home-based business, never a better time to talk about that than right now. It's April 16th, and people are still doing their tax returns because they're not due until tomorrow. But the idea of look at what tax rate you're in. I mean, you can look at my tax returns, and it doesn't matter what income I make. I pay so little in taxes. And, in fact, I'm getting back money every single year for the last, I don't know how many years, we get money back on my husband because he pays his tax rate on his income at his job. And, of course, I pay myself a minimal salary because I know why do I want to pay more. And so I pay myself a minimum salary out of my Manatech business, which is a separate corporate structure. But the idea is that we get almost all those taxes back every year. There's always a tax refund, year after year, a tax refund, year after year. And even after selling property this year, I still had a tax refund, which is pretty amazing. And so that's the benefit of that home-based business, because you write off so many things that are typically personal expenses. And again, we're going to have that training on Saturday for all of you, so you can enjoy that. So Manatech is an answer. You guys catching on to this, right? And then we just look at U.S. statistics on direct selling in the U.S. There's a great, if you go to the Direct Selling Association website, you want to print off the page there. I was going to attach it to our outline, but I failed to do that. Sorry. But it goes through a lot of these statistics. Over 20 million involved in network marketing in the U.S. in 2017. That's 8% are actively involved in direct selling. And of 85% of those are doing the business, are working it part-time. So you're talking about a huge business, secondary business for people. 85% of all people in the networking industry are working it as a secondary job. So people, there aren't a lot of people like Mary Jo and some of the other people that are on this call perhaps that are doing Manatech full-time. The majority are actually part-time. So when you're out there talking to people about this, don't make it as necessarily displacing what they're already doing, but an add to. A lot, that's how most of us became full-timers, is that we added it to before we decided to break away and do it full-time. So it's a great freedom to work your regular job and have a side gig going on that isn't tied time to dollars. And why do people choose the time for dollars versus network marketing? Everybody understand that? It's because they have this need for cash today. When they put time and energy into a network marketing model, they don't see that cash flow really coming in a significant way for maybe a month to 3 months to 6 months down the road, right? So right now they want immediate money. So they look at how do I convert my time into immediate dollars right now? And that's what causes people to go after the gig economy instead of network marketing. And so you need to understand that differentiation. So would you rather make an investment? Let's get you to $500 a month with a pod. I mean, the first time ever in Manatech, we can show that kind of income in a very short period of time with limited number of people. It used to take 60 people ordering $100 a month for you to make $500 a month. in Manatech. You had to be a national director, old terminology from our old comp plan, but national director was $6,000 on every 4 weeks, and then you would get paid approximately $500, $400 to $600 as a national director at that level. People were higher nationals, but I'm talking about just at that 6,000. Today, it requires 1,500 of volume, right? That's 25% of what it used to take. How many of you are AQ team today? And if you're not, why not? I mean, that should be like that, you know, that's number one. When I teach my new person, I say the first goal you have is AQ team. Let's go out and make it happen. That's it. First goal, AQ team. Let's go get it done. Go get her done. That's how you make money in Manatech, AQ team. And some people, that's all they may ever want to make. But you know what? There's a good percentage of people in Manatech that don't even make $500 a month, and it's right there free to be made. So we really want to focus on that, and that's how simple it is. So when people talk about, oh, I'd rather do a gig economy, I can make money over here. Well, you know, just like when Lydia started doing Uber, she started making some good money on a monthly basis. I don't know, $1,000, $1,500, I can't remember. You know, she was only doing it on weekends. She found out there's a magical way of doing it and where you hang out to be perfect to maximize your income. But the problem was she was putting a zillion miles on her car. And now there's all sorts of aspects of that hurt your car insurance. Number two, they hurt you if you have gap insurance. What, Lid, don't they take away your gap insurance? If you know, the gap insurance, when you go buy a car and the minute you drive it off the lot, you just bought a new car, you lose $4,000 because that's the value goes down. And the gap insurance is the insurance you buy to protect yourself if you go back and you sell your car, trade it in, right? Or you get an, or not trade it in, but you get, it's all about, mostly about an accident. If you have an accident and your car gets totaled, gap insurance is what covers the difference between what the debt's left out and the salvage value of your car. And if you're an Uber driver, guess what happens to you? Your gap insurance, you may have paid for it, but it's not going to stand up because they have a limitation on how many miles you can put on your car. And so you got to be careful with some of these things. There's repercussions behind everything you talk about. So, and then Uber requires you to have a certain quality car before you can become a driver. So you can't go out there and drive around an old used car. So there's all those problems that are out there with some of these things, the side problems that you don't even conceptualize that you're getting. But the main one is time for dollars. Again, all the other side issues aside, you still have time for dollars. And you want to get outside that rigmarole. And so big, big, big time to do that. Stay away from that gig economy. So, again, look at the page. I have attached the page from Site that was supposed to come off of Direct Selling Association, and you can go to their page and see that statistics on direct selling. And then personal development education, of course, that's incredible, invaluable. You know, some people say, Mary Jo, what was your most valuable experience with Manatech? And it wasn't the millions that I've made, being in the Millionaire Club and all that. That I could have made practicing law equally, right? But it really was, in law, no one was helping me be better me. Wasn't helping me have better relationships with people. Wasn't growing me into better leadership. You know, we didn't take personal development leadership classes practicing law. Didn't happen. Wasn't out there. That's why a lot of you probably go, I hate going to see lawyers. Well, one of the reasons you hate the billable hours, but the other one is, you know, sometimes they're not the greatest people at work. They're not the most balanced people or, you know, in people that you would want to associate with in your life because a lot of them are eggheads. They're more entrenched in, you know, the intellectual side of it, and they don't really care about building relationships. They just care about billable hours. So the value of being in a business in the industry like network marketing where there's such a huge focus on personal development and leadership development and entrepreneurial development, it's huge. And that's one of the big things. I just started a mastermind here. I just joined an entrepreneurship leadership national group where I'm going to start helping entrepreneurs everywhere, you know, because I'm not just about Manatech, I'm about other entrepreneurship. I want to drive entrepreneurship in a huge way in our economy today. So I'm trying to be on top of that as well. But that's what you learn in network marketing. It gives you invaluable training to understand the whys of of being an entrepreneur, and you want to be the one that stands out in your community as entrepreneurial. So it's invaluable, all that extra, you know, extra growth and development that we go through, and believing in the entrepreneurial way of life, which is priceless. So last thing I had is about starting fresh. You know, worrying about money every month, financial stress can destroy you and destroy your health. And we talked about that earlier. And there's plenty of financial stress. All you got to do is look at the early stage of the outline today, and it'll show you the reasons why people. And people worry about that. You know, they worry about that. They're stuck in that. You're going to come across people that you talk to are kind of stuck, and they go, well, I don't know. I need this money for this, or I need and what are the couple top topics people want to talk about? Number one on the list is money. They talk about money, financial stress, and they just have so much stress in their life, and that, of course, destroys their health as well. And, you know, people are so penny-pinching, worried about where the next dollar is going to come from. And I take the philosophy in my life that every tree, there's money. Because remember, when we were growing up as kids, how many times did your parents say money doesn't grow on trees? And I just laugh. It's one of the worst memes out there, you know? Or curiosity kills a cat. Do you ever hear that statement? That's horrible. All it does is make people not want to be curious. We want to be curious about everything, right? But these sayings came out of Nowhereville, and they are just horrible. Money doesn't grow on trees. That was what parents used to tell their kids because they wanted them to work hard. That's what I was raised as. Work hard, go to college, get a good job, blah, blah, blah. Because they wanted to make sure we as kids were taken care of, that we weren't dependents. Right, that we had a good, solid financial existence. And that's great. But the problem is that money does grow on trees. And my parents were trying to get us to get a good job. J-O-B, there it is. But I didn't want to work a job. I didn't have the personality to be in the job environment. Could have I done it? Probably. I did it for a number of years. But the idea is the joy I have and the pleasure of having so much time freedom as an entrepreneur is off the charts. Exceptional. So we want to teach people money grows on trees. It's just you've got to figure out a way to pick it. And that's so true about Manatech. Money is everywhere in Manatech. You just have to go out there and plot out, grow your business, do the energy and effort to produce that. And the most beautiful thing about it is that when you do Manatech as an entrepreneurial business, you are building that residual income stream. You're building a repetitive income stream. You're building an income stream that comes in whether you work in a month or you don't work in a month. There's tremendous value to that. It's like investing in a CD that pays out or annuity payment that you get X dollars every month for the rest of your life. These things are incredible assets to have and to build, and that's why Manatech gives you such a super opportunity. So keep in mind the proper philosophy of knowing that money grows on every tree, you just need to figure out a way to find it and pick it. And that's what I teach my kids and my grandkids, my goodness gracious. And now I know I have my two kids are multimillionaires in their 40s and 30s, and both heavy-duty entrepreneurs, and one of them, their spouse, is also an entrepreneur in a different field. So what a value is that? Protect yourself from the unknown, corporate layoffs, downturns, health, all these kind of things always going on out there. I mean, everybody talks about this job stimulus package, the tax package that was passed at the end of last year, and General Motors just announced 1,500 more layoffs because the car industry is getting tight. I mean, it's just the realities of economy, you know? It doesn't matter how much money you pour into it. You know, what a lot of the corporations did was they used all their money to buy back stock so that they could increase the value of the stock ownership for their stock. What does stock ownership have to do with running a company? Isn't that a funny thing? Since when does stock ownership and stock value control a company? That's a pretty amazing statistic, isn't it? But that's how they value it. Because they're all worried about what? The stockholders increasing the value. And who are the major stockholders in our country? They're not the people in the bottom 50, 60% of our society. They're the top 10, 20%. Of people that own all the stock. So once again, pouring tons and billions of dollars into that realm, but not creating better jobs or more income or more employment opportunities out there. So we're still watch and see on it because it was just passed, but the reality is still setting in that we're not sure it's going to create more jobs, and we sure are worried about, you know, the tariff wars and all the things that are going on in that regard. So you got to protect yourself from the unknown. The only way to do that is to be your own boss, right? There you go. you decide how much you want to work and how much dedicated you are. You have a mechanism to learn how to increase greater wealth and be on a continual path of self-improvement. So you're becoming more inspiring, more confident, more giving. You can make a bigger impact on the world, and that's what Manatech does. We have a huge opportunity with this company to change the legacy we leave behind. So hopefully all that great information today will help you grab onto it. Some of you are out there going, Mary Jo, just depress me. And I go, no. It should never depress you. You can let the world around you make bad choices, right? But you make good choices. You make the right choices. You make the choices to really take on this world, take on this Manatech business in a way that serves you and serves literally hundreds of other people. And that means learning how to talk about it, learning how to tell the story about what it provides and the upside and the freedom and the joy. And, yeah, is it tough? I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm just telling you that it's a lot. Just like Eric Worre says, it's not perfect, but it sure darn so much better than alternatives out there. And that's exactly what network marketing is. Okay, everybody, any questions? Did some of this information help you? Do you think you can pick out tidbits of it and maybe add it to your spiel when you talk about network marketing? Or did it help you personally get a greater conviction on doing network marketing?
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
Hi, this is Martha. Yes, that's so good and helpful. I've found some things I need to focus on. I have three questions. I got on this DSA.org. It's Direct Selling Association. Is that the website you're
uh-huh.
referring to?
Yep.
And where do I go for that article?
They usually have a page with all the pictures and diagrams on it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get Lydia. We're going to send it.
I can't send it out.
Oh, you can't send it out. Post it.
I'm going to pop up that after.
Give us to the end of the day because she's still entrenched in tax work. So, but we'll have it attached to the outline by the end of today. How's that? So you'll know exactly what document I wanted to attach. Okay? Good?
Thank you. And are you having a call next Monday?
Next Monday, I'm not having a call. Oh, wait. Yes, we are. Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking manifest. All I've been doing is had manifest on the brain. I was thinking that was.
Okay.
No, I am having a call next Monday. But then the following Monday, the Monday that is within the realm of Manifest, because as you all know, Manifest runs Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday morning this year. So that Monday is the one I will not have a call, which is like May. Is that actually May 1st, or is it still in April?
April
30th is the Monday. Okay, April 30th. I will not. Yeah, 14 days from today, I will not. But yes, absolutely, 23rd of April, I will definitely have a Monday call. Okay?
Okay, the last one is on this next Saturday tax training, will there be any PowerPoint to print off?
Absolutely. We have a PowerPoint. We have an outline for you. Everybody will get an outline. There will be a PowerPoint presented, and there will be two follow-up Q&A sessions that will be planned. And those are coming after Manifest.
Okay, thank you very much.
You bet.
Hey, Mary Jo, is the sign up for your tax program on the Manatrain site?
It is on the Manatrain website, yes.
Okay.
The sign up for the tax program is right there. It is.
There's a tab.
Is there a tab on the top? It says tax on the tab, the top
okay.
tab on the site. Perfect.
By the way, thanks for the reminder on Kiyosaki. It's the second time I've heard about it today. So it's out in the wind. I've got a young fellow I met at the Whole Foods Market that is a musician and would love to
uh-huh.
be a full-time musician. And, you know, this is being a musician in this economy is not a good idea. But the conversation that I set up a time to meet him when I get back from Manifest about what could you do to be able to afford to be a musician.
Perfect.
Sort of thing.
I know, Michael, it's just, it's not about robbing somebody of their dream. I love when I find an artist or a musician. Of course, a musician
right.
is an artist, just another art form. But the whole idea of, I'm not trying to rob, I want you to live your dream.
Right.
But how can you do that and financially support yourself? That's
yeah, and
what,
I think
you
the,
know.
The quadrant's probably the best place to start with them. Now that
it is a great place. It is a great place. Absolutely.
Well, thanks.
You bet. Yep. Anyone else? Great. All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great week. Don't forget to get your taxes done. I know there are a lot of people on this call that are filing for extensions, and that's always an option. But I always tell people, don't put off what you can do to, for tomorrow, what you can get done today. So that's, in fact, I worked with one of my people in my ministry who is also in my MASIC business, and she has a separate Christian ministry she's doing. And she goes, she said to me, I said, I'll do your tax return for you, but you got to get me your stuff, And she sent me a message on Thursday or Friday, and she, I just can't get it to you by Friday. And I said, okay, Carrie. I said, I just used her name. I said, get it to me by Sunday, and I still can get it done for you. And sure enough, I got loaded up with her information. But I just wanted to support her in getting out of that concept of procrastination. Does that make sense? And I feel the same way, because I think that procrastination is a disease. If you look at your life, and I could do a whole talk on this one alone, but the idea is that where am I procrastinating in my life? And you start evaluating it because it's a disease that creeps into your life and it starts eating away your joy and it starts eating away your future and your effectiveness. And people don't see it that way. They just go, why should I do today when I could put it off for tomorrow? A horrible attitude. I'm one that's like, let's get everything done, make a to-do list, get it, knock it out. I don't want anything dragging over to tomorrow. Efficiency in your daily time and your daily hours is so critical. It gives you more power over your life. So don't procrastinate. I know some of you are going, Mary Jo, now I feel guilty because I filed an extension already. I'm not saying to feel guilty. I'm just saying take on a new light. Take on a new viewpoint of your life. Take on a new approach. Unless you're totally enamored with everything you've created in life. If you're not, and I'm not, so I love change, and I love taking on new things that make me more effective. And so try that for a change with that word procrastination. Okay, everybody. Love you all. Talk
Mary
to you
Jo.
Next. Yeah, okay.
I have a quick question, please. Sure. There was Sandy Bodkin, I think was his name. He did a thing on this program, I think, called TaxBot.
Yes. Do I recommend it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Is this
I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it. Okay. And if you do the MyTax class, you won't need it. The concept that Sandy Bodkin's doing, he has a lot of things. And, in fact, I even talked to Al Ballo. We met about tax programs out there. And my problem with Sandy Bodkin's, there's nothing wrong with Sandy. I mean, but he's trying to make money off of a multi-millions of people. If he gets you to pay him $10 a month and he has millions doing that, guess how much money the guy's making? A fortune, right?
Right.
And
but I'm talking about the thing that he was talking about for on the phone as to how to organize and to keep track of stuff.
How to keep track of stuff. You'll get that all in my tax class.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's another problem. I'll give you one. Here's a big, there are a number of issues I have with Sandy's program. Number one, here's something you're going to learn in my tax class next Saturday. One of your biggest advantages in your home-based business, besides writing off your home, right now, you get to write off your car, okay, because you're using your car for your business. Every time you go out and buy something for Manitech, you go out to meet somebody or you do any kind, you get to write off your car. Do you follow me? And you get to take my electric vehicle. Well, Sandy Bodkin says, here's a program you can buy from me that will allow you to trace your car expenses every single day, okay? Every day you can trace it for 12 months, right? You agree with me?
Right.
That's what Sandy proposes.
Right. That's what he was saying.
Correct. Okay, so let me tell you something. What if I told you the IRS says that you only have to keep track of your car expenses, mileage, okay, for 3 months? And then you can blow off the other 9 months because the IRS says you can take 3 months of data and figure out what your average, am I using my car 15%, 20%, you follow? And you can take that percentage and extrapolate it for your total miles for the whole year. Would you rather do that than the responsibility of keeping track of your mileage for 12 months? You tell me.
Okay.
Every year I'm in this business, I'm done keeping track of mileage by the end of March, okay? January, February, March, I keep track of my mileage, and bingo, all I need is my ending mileage. Every year I need my ending mileage. That's all I need because my ending mileage of this year is my beginning mileage of the following year. So it's one and the same. So all I need is my ending mileage. And then when I have that one quarter, if I use 35% of my miles for my first quarter of the year were used for business, I can take 35% of my total miles I put on my car for the whole year. And the IRS says that's acceptable. So why do I need Sandy Bodkin giving me a program that makes it a nuisance for me to keep track of my mileage and plug stuff in every single day I'm out in the car? You got it? I don't want to do that.
Okay. I just thought maybe with it being on the phone that I could start trying to keep track of stuff all in one place.
I'll help you with that. I'll give you a sheet. I have monthly forms that I'm going to give everybody that you fill out at the end of every month, so you know what happens. At the end of the year, you're going to have these envelopes where you're just going to go, oh, I pull these out and I do my tax return.
Gotcha. Okay.
You got it? How do you like that?
Thank you, dear.
Yeah, you bet. Okay. I'm not trying to make money off of people on a monthly basis on how to do their taxes. I don't like to take – I think that if, you know, we have enough monthly expenses, and I know $10 or 15 bucks, whatever his program costs, doesn't sound like a lot. But to me, it sounds like a lot when there are 2 million people that suck into the program and he's making $30 million a month because you guys want to pay somebody. It's simple, and every dollar counts. So, but – all right, everybody. Hope to see you guys on Saturday. And love you all. Have a great week. And manifest is getting closer. So we can't wait to, have the joy of being there. Bye, everybody.